To kick off, our first speaker is Estelle Pearson, and I suspect there's probably not a person in the room who needs to be introduced to Estelle. She is Vice President of the Institute, Senior Vice President of the Institute. In 2012, she was Actuary of the Year, acknowledging her contribution to the Australian profession, among many other things. She also has a day job. I don't know how she fits it in, but somewhere along the line, she is also, we'll just leave her with her actuary's title for now. Ladies and gentlemen, our first speaker, Estelle Pearson.
Thank you, and welcome all to the conference. So my job today on the panel is to channel CEOs. We did try to get a real CEO to come and talk, but unfortunately nobody was available. So I got the job to sort of come and channel them. So as part of that, I've gone out and I've interviewed a number of CEOs from a range of companies. So an insurer, so large corporate insurers, SME, personal lines insurers, established brands, as well as challenger brands, and I'm going to be sort of presenting their feedback today. And through the discussions I had with them about challenges, that they sort of obviously raised a number of things, and I've categorised those into seven key themes: so growth, profitability, data, affordability, customers, market players, and the workforce. And I'm going to talk a little bit on their perspectives on each of those for about the next 15 minutes. So first of all, on growth. Now, with growth, there was definitely different perspectives from the commercial players versus the personal players, and there was also some shorter and longer term views. So on the commercial side first, The big challenge there for the commercial players was that the premium pool really isn't growing, and there was actually some concerns that the premium pool might start to shrink. And that's a result of a subdued economy and an expectation that the economy will continue to be subdued, and an oversupply of capacity. And over the last few years, we've had a lot of new capacity come into the commercial lines markets. It's come in from overseas, either through Lloyd's or through underwriting agencies. It's come in through reinsurers. A lot of reinsurers now have direct operations as well. And so as a result of that, rates are going down, particularly in the corporate classes, but SME hasn't been immune to that either. And there's really no increase in sight for the next few years, and I know that some people are estimating it would take a global event of more than $250 billion to make the market correct. And to put that into context, in 2011-2005, so our last 2 years with significant events, the total global losses were under $150 billion. So sort of no end in sight without a big event or maybe some other external shock or external change to the economy, like increase in bond yields. A longer term challenge in the commercial space is the reduction or the decline in the relative value of physical assets for businesses. And of course, traditionally, insurance has really traditionally focused on the protection of physical assets. And as physical assets become a smaller part of people's businesses, then I guess the challenge for insurers, the issue for insurers is that traditional insurers insurance products might become less relevant. And the challenge is, of course, to develop products that cover those intangible and non-physical assets. On personal lines, obviously competition from the challenger brands is sort of putting a lid on rate increases, but we're not sort of obviously in that market seeing the same kind of rate decreases that we have in the commercial classes. And I guess the growth challenge there is quite different for the established brands versus the challengers, where we have I think Suncorp and IAG in their last annual reports, admitting they're losing market share to the challengers, and the challengers gaining, I think, about more than 10% of the market at the moment. So different growth challenges for those established brands versus challengers, certainly in the short term. Longer term, I think that there again is concerns about structural changes which would just change significantly the size of the motor premium pool in particular. Things like car safety. I think the UK is saying that they'll have the first driverless car in less than a year, and also initiatives like telematics and general car safety, meaning that there's a reduction in collision frequency, where that's already happening, in fact. And obviously, as collision frequency reduces, then premiums reduce in line. If you then add on to that community attitudes to vehicle ownership, and cars are terrible assets to own. They devalue the minute you drive them out of the yard. And certainly the younger generation are focusing on mobility through things like go-get and car sharing. Obviously, digitally, they're able to sort of come together in groups for those sorts of initiatives. So focusing on mobility as opposed to car ownership will again sort of mean that the size of the assets being insured in that market will reduce. And so we could see a significant shrinking of the motor premium pool over the next sort of 10 to 20 years. Turning to profit, and again, here there's some different views in between the commercial and the personal players. And I think also, you know, obviously comments on profit need to be made in the context of an industry that's made a return on capital of 18% in the last 2 years, with loss ratios for the personal lines players of around personal lines products around 60%. And loss ratios for commercial lines a bit under 60%. So, you know, there's nothing there that makes you concerned immediately about profit. However, certainly in the commercial space, the commercial insurers are feeling squeezed, and they're definitely sort of looking at those profits that they've made in this year, in the last couple of years, as declining. And in the corporate space, the challenge is, when do I walk away? When do I decide that the rates are so low for this piece of business and the risk is too great that I walk away from this business? I think for personal lines, obviously the profitability profitability isn't such an issue, certainly not such an issue as growth. And the established players are certainly focusing on cost control and cost reductions as a way to maintain their profit and grow their profit, as opposed to growing the top line. And the challenger brands are starting to gain some scale, so their costs are reducing, and they're focusing very much on sort of a niche play from a risk selection perspective to maintain profitability. I think in personal lines, the CEOs saw a challenge as really a reputational one, and which will link a little bit into the affordability question challenge that I talk about later. Obviously, when insurance is becoming unaffordable for some sectors of the market and insurers are making large profits, then that raises questions about whether the insurers are gouging. On profitability, technology was raised as an opportunity, but also obviously a cost of investment. And I think particularly in the commercial space, a number of the insurers in that space were talking about using technology to reduce a lot of the duplication of work that occurs between brokers and insurers, and to, you know, by reducing that duplication, reducing back office costs, and thereby sort of helping to maintain profit in a market where margins are being squeezed. Data. So one insurer described it as an arms race. Insurers and insurer can't afford to get left behind in the big data race, a couple of CEOs said. And one of the challenges is, of course, finding the right data, the right proprietary data, to gain a competitive advantage and to be able to use that data both in terms of looking at the customer experience and also in terms of risk selection. I think generally there was a view that big data would have a bigger impact in the personal lines markets and at the smaller end of commercial. And also some views that that the size of our market may be a limitation, certainly a limitation in terms of a niche play. So if someone becomes very niche through the use of big data, you know, identifying a group of risks that are particularly good, with the size of our market, you know, that niche play might be too small. That was certainly one view. I think from a customer perspective, experience perspective, one challenge is on getting insurance to be usable, being quick and easy through mobile devices. And that involves, I guess, a simpler, quicker process using fewer screens. People don't want to go through a lot of screens on their mobile device, and having a lot of data pre-populated to make that work for people. And I think on a risk selection basis, the challenge is, or the expectation is, that we will start to find new rating factors being used by different players. People will try different things. Social media usage, for example, was one thing given as a potential rating factor. And I guess that sort of means a couple of things. Firstly, with more rating variables getting down to more to the individual at a more and more granular level, we have more individualised pricing, as well as the existence of big data and information about customers does change the data advantage that insurers have always had. Insurers know a lot about their customers. They know a lot about their customer risk, and they know more than the customer, and they know more than new entrants and players outside the insurance market. And the existence of big data reduces that data advantage that they have. Affordability is obviously very topical at the moment. It's the outcome of individualised pricing, particularly around perils at the address-based level. And obviously in far north Queensland, we're seeing some, and in Strata, we're seeing some big issues at the moment around affordability. And insurers, I don't think any of the CEOs that I spoke to would deny it. It's all the CEOs believe in climate change. They believe that it's happening, and they believe that it's going to make affordability worse, particularly those living in areas where they get the triple hit of flood, cyclone and bushfire. And, of course, it's a big reputational challenge for the industry, linked, as I said before, to profitability. And I guess a real challenge for the industry or for insurers is, how do they manage that? How do they manage that relationship with government and with the community, and work with them to find an appropriate risk transfer mechanism for the situation where affordability is the issue, rather than having to respond to a government intervention that might not be in the best interests of insurers. And obviously at the moment what we're seeing in far north Queensland is the government's call or mandating an aggregator for prices and focusing on transparency, which I don't think that the insurers have been, you know, particularly in favour of. So customers... So obviously in the personal line space, we've seen a lot of challenger brands come into the market in the last 5 years or so, and we've seen more advertising. It's obviously online now, much easier to get quotes. And as a result of that, we're seeing a lot more shopping. There's estimates there's twice as much shopping as there used to be, and about 50% more switching, resulting in more customer churn. And I think some of the initiatives within the data area, say the pre-population of information, making quoting easier, making quoting simpler, that will just exacerbate that. So we'll get more shopping and more churning as we move forward. On the commercial space, there's also challenges there. The broker platforms like the Steadfast Virtual Underwriter make it easier and faster for brokers to quote. And again, insurers are there trying to work to make that even easier for brokers. And again, that means obviously the more quoting, potentially the more shopping and the more churning. Now, there are, of course, plenty of examples from other industries about how fast customer behaviour can change. So examples are given were Kodak and Uber are the ones that are given the most. And so I guess the challenge for insurers is anticipating what customers want, which moving towards sort of more tailored products, and how and when they want to buy that. I think also the other issue around customers is the change in the balance of power between customers and insurers. I think there's two elements of that. I mean, obviously, we're seeing customers having the ability to group together to sort of use their power as a group, so things like the big switch. And also through social media, customers being able to recommend and influence reputation in a much wider sense than they were able to previously. And I guess as we see those changes in customers' behaviour, and especially customers being online so much, There's questions about which brands customers trust, who's closest to the customer and who knows more about them. And obviously already we're seeing, and therefore the ability to have new brands coming to the market. And of course we've already seen retail brands like Coles and Woolworths being able to leverage their retail brand into the insurance and financial services space. And there's sort of some expectation that some digital brands will do the same. I guess digital disruption is about, meeting customers' insurance requirements in quite a different way. So really changing the model. And again, I think that all the CEOs I spoke to thought that that was more likely to come from a new player than from one of the existing players. And I guess the challenge there for the existing players is for them to be agile and adaptable and able to adapt to a new model. And I guess some of the things that we're sort of starting to see around that space are peer-to-peer insurance, so Friendsurance in Germany, and I think Peersurance came and went in a short time, space of time. I think that's Guevara Insurance in the UK. And these are peer-to-peer groups where you, through social media, you join a pool, so maybe with all your friends, and you join a pool and you group together, and in essence you self-insure your insurance losses up to a certain amount, and then you're buying, and then the pool's buying sort of catastrophe type insurance. As I say, that's sort of starting to get some momentum, but there's a few that have come and gone. And I think the CEO's view was that people will try things and keep trying things, and one day something will hit and it will change the market massively, as we've seen in other industries. The last theme is around the workforce, and there was a few different challenges here. So one of the observations was that obviously labour costs in Australia are relatively high compared with other parts of the world, and with technology, obviously we're now able to use, we're a global workforce, much more so, and there's obviously, we've seen a lot of offshoring starting to occur in the insurance industry. I guess one of the challenges that raises is if you sort of get rid of that pyramid, that workforce pyramid, where you have a lot of juniors coming in and learning and gaining experience and then moving into senior positions, the question becomes, well, if we've offshored a lot of those junior positions, where do our next generation of experienced leaders come from? Where will they arise from? How do we attract people into the industry? Another challenge is around competition for skills. Now, obviously, the insurance industry has always been reasonably rich in data skills, given the sort of work that we do. But data and data skills are becoming much more in demand across a much broader range of industries, potentially making it more difficult for the insurance industry to attract those skills. And then finally, there was sort of lots of comments which I sort of put around culture, and that doesn't really just go to the workforce, that sort of goes to the whole organisation. So there's, with the pace of change, there's obviously a need for companies to be innovative, creative and agile, which aren't necessarily words that you immediately associate with an insurance company, where you're thinking more about risk and control and compliance. And there really needs to be a cultural shift within organisations from the board all the way down in order to enable companies to sort of meet the challenges ahead. So that's me channeling the CEOs. I think if I could sort of summarise it, really the biggest challenge, I guess compared with the past, because things have always changed and companies have always had to adapt to change, but the biggest challenge compared to the past is probably the pace of change. And the strong message from the CEOs was the danger of not being agile enough and ready to respond when that change happens, because it will happen quickly. Thank you.